read from the Gospel of John chapter 14, and we'll begin at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that you may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of his precious and his eternal word. The Lord Jesus Christ is about to leave this world. In only a few minutes he'll be in Gethsemane. In only a few hours he'll be on the cross. And only a few more hours he'll be in the tomb. For 3 days and three nights, hid away from sight, demons of hell jumping all over themselves thinking they've won the victory. All of heaven must have held its breath. The mighty angel Michael, the general angel that God has over his host in heaven, must have crimped his style to stand still and watch the Son of God hang on a cross, be spit on and vilified and all the things that went on. And he told them this was going to happen. And he told them that when it did happen, he was going to leave them. And they couldn't stand it. They didn't know what to do. How are we going to live without him? How are we going to make it without him? This is a terrible world we're living in. We're weak creatures. We've got lots of faults and failures. And we need lots of strengthening and lots of help. So the question is, how are we going to make it without him? Well, we know that we can't make it without him, don't we? We sing, without him, I can do nothing. Without him, my poor heart would fail. Without him, I'd be just like a ship without a sail, just cut loose on the sea. And you say, well, how are we going to make it? I'll tell you how. He did not leave us comfortless. That word comfortless means orphanos in Greek. And I'll tell you what it is. I will not leave you an orphan. I'll not leave you in this world by yourself with nowhere to go. The Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something wonderful, people. At the right hand of the throne of God in heaven, there is somebody standing that calls your name and knows who you are and knows what you're going through with and knows what you're suffering, knows the tears you've cried. And you know how he knows? Because he's been here. There's an old Indian saying about it, don't say anything about anybody or whatever till you've walked a mile in their moccasins. Well, let me tell you something, folks. He's walked in ours. He came down to this earth across the parapets of glory, walked down the golden Milky Way and came to this earth as a baby from the Virgin Mary. And my friend, he lived in this world as a human being. He knows what it is to be tempted, knows what it is to be tried, knows all of that. Well, thank God, when he went back to glory, he said, I'm going to tell you the first thing I'm going to do when I get back. What was the first thing he's going to do? Now, you can work this out in your Godhead theology just any way you want to, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said he went back to heaven, and he was going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. I will not leave you comfortless, he says, because I'm going to send you another Comforter. I've been here. I've been the Comforter. I've been healing the sick and raising the dead. I've been preaching the gospel and baptizing all these people and all this. But now you're going to do that. In fact, he said, greater works than these shall you do. Isn't that good news? And he said, I'm turning this work over to you all, and you all are going to do it. And the word was, how on earth are we going to do this? We can't even get in out of the rain hardly. And you know Peter and James and John and all them have had a lot of difficulty getting themselves acclimated to the gospel message and all that kind of thing. And bless the Lord, he's going to send us the power. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll bring power, and you'll have power to be witnesses of me. Well, this is great good news. Now, when we talk about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, if you're reading from the King James Version, and if you're talking about the Holy Ghost, I have to tell you something. We're not talking about an it. We're talking about a him. We're talking about a person. And you have only to read that. I will send him. And he talks about this person that's coming. Not necessarily, if you want to call him the third person of the Godhead, that's good theology talk. It's not specifically said that way in the scripture. But what the scripture does tell us is that the Spirit of God is coming, and it's going to be with us, but something else, something more wonderful than being with us. Be in us. Wow. You talk about grace. You talk about grace, my friends. Listen to me. It's, you say, oh, the grace of God that took us in from sin, and it's marvelous. I'm just thankful for the grace of God that took us in. Amen. But you know what else I'm grateful for? I'm grateful the grace of God extends it to put God himself in me. Can you imagine? It's wonderful that Jesus came to this world and lived among us sinners down here and walked in our shoes. But isn't it wonderful that he has now come to walk in us, to live in us? He shall be in us. You say, who are we talking about? We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, who is the Holy Spirit? He's God. You say, well, I thought God the Father was God. He is. You say, well, I thought God the Son was God. He is. And these three are one God. You say, explain that. I can't explain that. I ain't got enough brains to explain that. I'm just a country preacher. I'm not a Harvard theologian or nothing like that. I haven't been to the Vatican or any place else. But I can tell you what the Word said. And the Word tells me that God in action is the Holy Ghost, the very Spirit of God. And you say, well, how's he in action? Number one, you see him in the Bible as creator. I mean, the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, hardly gets on the page. The ink don't get dry till we're reading about God creating the world. And you say, how did God create the world? Well, he spoke and it happened. The Word of God's so powerful that he spoke and it happened. And when we pick it up and said the earth was without form, it was void, darkness was on the face of the deep, and all this terrible chaos was in the world, and the world was not going anywhere. It was just dead. And there come life. And how did the life come? The Holy Ghost. Listen to the Word of God. The Holy Ghost came and brooded and laid upon the waters. And when the Spirit of God comes, my friend, oh, just like the river that Ezekiel saw in the Old Testament, he was carried in his spirit into the temple, and he looked at the door, and there was a crack under the door, sort of like right back there. You can see the light under the door. Well, there was a space under the door of the temple, and there was water, living water running inside of that temple. And that water began to run out from under that door, and it began to run down. And everywhere that that water went, life sprung up. Trees and flowers and vegetables and grass and all kinds of things. Everywhere the river went, there was life, and it turned green, even in the middle of a desert. So the Creator is who? Well, the Bible said in Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, think about this. John chapter 1 says what? Said all things were made by him. And it was not anything that was made. All things were made for him. And later in the New Testament it says that. And you say, well, how can that be? God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And then it goes in the New Testament and said nothing was made that Jesus didn't make. That's because Jesus is God. And that's because God is Jesus. And that's because I can't explain it, but I can tell you that there is a living God in heaven. And there is the Son of God, and they are one. And he pleads for us. He calls our name before the throne of God. And Jesus went back to glory, and he said, I will pray the Father that he will send you this other comforter. Isn't that wonderful? Didn't take long either, did it? 10 days. Took 10 days. And he came. And here come the comforter. And you say, how did they get it? Well, they got it pretty dramatically, to tell you the truth. We don't always get it that dramatically in an outward way, but in your heart, it's always that dramatic. And you say, how did it happen? Well, you read it in Acts chapter 2, and when the Holy Ghost come, they were in the temple. Most people say they were in the upper room. I have no idea what kind of an upper room somebody had in their house where 3,000 people could get saved and baptized in it. Now, I know they maybe wasn't all poor people in Jerusalem, but I have to tell you something. I seriously doubt anybody had a house big enough to accommodate 3,000 people getting saved, plus the people that were already there, 120 people were already there. I think these people, and if you keep reading, it says they met daily in the temple and prayed, and they were in Solomon's porch. It's a portico that went all the way around the inside of the temple, and they were under there praying and seeking God at the hour of prayer. We know what time of day the Holy Ghost came, don't we? We know exactly what time of day. What time was it? 9 o'clock in the morning. As a Lutheran pastor wrote a book, you might enjoy reading it, called 9 o'clock in the morning. And he set out to investigate these Pentecostals and see what all this tongue talking and jumping around and carrying on was about. And so when he checked it out and finished his investigation, he was talking in tongues too. He had joined right up with them and was part of it. So he wrote a book about it, 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, who is this we're talking about? We're talking about God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, made everything that there is, created everything that's to be created. He's the inspiration of the judges, the prophets, and the priests of the Old Testament. We talk about Samson running up there and picking up the gates of Gaza, pulling up the post out of the ground with all the gates and hinges and hardware on it and carrying it off and putting it on top of another hill. My friend, we talk about him running out there and grabbing a lion and killing it. And we talk about killing 5,000 people with the jawbone of an ass and all that kind of thing. Let me tell you something. When those things happened, the Spirit of God came on him. Go back and read it. It wasn't just he'd been to the gym a lot and had big muscles. I'm confident he was well built, but his great exploits were done by faith because the Holy Ghost came on him and the Spirit of God came down and made him. So we're talking about God, the creator, the inspiration of the prophets and the judges and the priests and the inspiration of the Word of God. Do you know what the Bible says about this book here? And the words that's in it, not the concordance or the dictionary, but the very word of God that's in it. You know what it says? It says God breathed. Said it came from God. It said holy men of God spoke as they were moved on by what? The Holy Ghost. Oh, wow. Hallelujah. Think about that. Now, you say, well, this Holy Ghost fella, he's pretty active. He's pretty dramatic person. Create the world that we live in. Hadn't it been a pretty spring? I don't care if the virus is going around. Hadn't it been pretty? The leaves have been green and all the things have looked so nice and pretty and the flowers. What a great God. All of that chaos and the Spirit of God brooded over it like an old hen on her eggs brings forth the chicks. And the Spirit of God brought forth the creation. And the Spirit of God worked through men in the Old Testament and did wonderful things, like Elijah going up in a chariot or smiting the waters and walking through dry shod, all the things that they did. But let me tell you something more wonderful than all what the Holy Ghost did. There's a little girl in a dusty little village called Nazareth. It ain't much of a place. There's a couple roads crossed there. That's about the only claim to fame it had. It was just stuck up on a hill above the Sea of Galilee, way up next to where the Gentiles lived. A lot of Roman soldiers and Gentiles going through there. everybody sort of looked down on it because it was the other side of the tracks, you know. And they didn't have all the uppity clothes of Jerusalem and didn't have all the religiosity of the temple and all that kind of thing. They were just poor, humble country people up there in that holler or hillside that they lived on. To tell you the truth, it was right next to a cliff that tried to throw Jesus off of it one time. And all that's sitting up there and going, and you know what? This little girl's there. She's a good girl. She's a virgin. Wow. Good thing the Lord didn't have to be born in this day and time. No amens, but a lot of giggles. Let me tell you something. Little girl was a virgin. She probably 14 or 15 years old. That would have been about the time to get married, maybe 16. And one day somebody strange, and she's probably meditating at her hour of prayer or whatever, there was a strange personage that stood in front of her, covered with the glory of God. His name was Gabriel. He'd come straight from the portals of glory, right straight from the throne of God. And he stood before that little virgin girl, and you know what he said? Hail Mary. No, he didn't say Mother of God. That's somebody else said that. But he did say Hail Mary, and he did say full of grace, and he did say you're highly favored, and he did say God's going to do something wonderful for you through you. And let me tell you what the Holy Ghost did. The Holy Ghost, Mary said, whoa, I'll do whatever the Lord wants me to. That was her heart. She had a servant's heart. But she said, how can it be? I don't have a man. I haven't been with a man. I don't know how that could happen. He said, listen to it. Who? The Holy Ghost will come. And the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. And because he comes upon you, you will conceive and bear a son and call his name Jesus. And he will be the Savior of the world. And that's how we get all that we got today. Let me ask you something. I can say from now till doomsday that I am John Kennedy's father. I tried to make it as far-fetched as I could. I can say from now to doomsday that I'm John Kennedy's father. How many of you are going to believe that? Not a one of you. Not anybody in the world. Not even the crazy fake news people. Nobody's going to believe that, are they? You know why they're not going to believe that? Because I did not cause Mary to conceive. Who caused Mary to conceive? The Holy Ghost. Now that tells me something. Jesus said he was the Son of God. Is he? Of course he is. Absolutely he is. But who put the seed in Mary and who caused her to conceive? The Holy Ghost. That means the Holy Ghost is God. That means God came down. And let me tell you, there's a very large religion in this country that teaches that God came down in a physical body and physically had a relationship with Mary and caused her to conceive. That's not true. Mary was a virgin when Jesus was born. Not molested by God or anybody else. Mary was a virgin. And Joseph was man enough to keep her that way. Isn't that what the book said? The Holy Ghost is the Father of our Lord and Savior. He came upon her. The Holy Ghost, my friend, is the founder of the Church of God. Worldwide, forever. You say, how is that? Well, the only way you can get into the church is to be born of the water and of the Spirit. So when we say Spirit, we have to be talking about the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, Him who is coming. And my friend, I can tell you, He came on the day of Pentecost and they heard Him coming. They heard Him before He got there. And you say, how was that? Well, they were in the temple. I'm going to stick to it. They were in the temple and they heard what? The sound of a mighty rushing wind. And the sound filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then what happened? Then fire came out from God in heaven. and fire stood in the midst of the room. And when the fire stood in the midst, oh, if we could just get that to come in the church. If we could just get that fire to come in the church. And my friend, that fire stood in the midst and it divided into small tongues of fire. And 120 tongues of fire came out of that one burning fire and lit on the head of every one of them. And what happened? Everybody said, "They're drunk! They're drunk!" What was Peter's answer to that? "It's 9 o'clock in the morning. The beer joints aren't even open yet. Kroger's bar hadn't even opened yet." So what happened? They began, I'm convinced that they fell down. I'm convinced they staggered. Why? You don't think somebody's drunk because they speak another language. You don't suspect somebody being drunk because they're not speaking English. If you don't believe that, you can go to Blacksburg and you'll have to believe half the town's drunk. Because there are so many students that are speaking other languages and so many people speaking other languages. You go to New York and go down by the United Nations, my friend, you'd have to believe everybody there's drunk. They thought they were drunk, and I'm convinced that when the Holy Spirit came, hey, just a little touch of God can make me stagger. But think about the full weight of the Holy Ghost coming down from heaven and the wind and the fire being there and the Spirit coming on them. They were staggering and they said, "What is this? What's the meaning of this? What is this?" And they said, "This is that was spoken of by the prophet. And this is what was coming. This is what was the promise of the Father. This is what Jesus prayed that he would come. And he's here. And these are not drunken as you suppose, but these are filled with the Spirit of God." My friend, they begin to speak in every language, and there's a whole list. And we used to have a little preacher here named Rush. Bless his heart. He could quote whole chapters out of the Bible. He could just start and quote the whole chapter. And he could quote this chapter with all these nationalities. It's something to hear. You'd hear him do that, and he'd get to preach it, and he'd get in Acts chapter 2, and he'd read, he'd quote every one of those things, and then he'd take off and run all the way around the church house and shout. Well, anybody could do that ought to shout. He also could preach and quote all of those foundation stones for the city in the Revelation, you know, and it said all these stones were there. He'd get to preaching and he'd quote every one of them. Well, I have to tell you something, folks. The Holy Ghost came that day and filled those people. And you say, what happened to them? They started speaking in tongues. And you say, what did they say to the people when they spoke in tongues? People understood what they were saying. Everybody understood their own language and they spoke in their language. And you say, how'd that happen? I'm not exactly sure how it happened, but I'm sure it did happen. And I have to tell you something, my friends, when they began to speak in tongues and the Spirit of God began to utter, what did Jesus say? When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll do what? I hear these people want to talk about trash all the time. People prophesying around in churches about some problem here, some problem that, some trash going on here, some trash going on there. Let me tell you what it said. It said, when the Holy Spirit's come, he'll do what? He'll testify of me. Holy Ghost going to be talking about Jesus when he comes. He's not going to be talking about your sister-in-law that you don't like. No, he's not going to be talking about that kind of stuff. He's not going to be talking about that penny ante stuff. He's going to be talking about Jesus when he comes. He's going to glorify Jesus. And when the Holy Ghost spoke about Jesus and glorified him, you know what happened? 3,000 people got saved and joined the church that day. Now, man, that's a revival. 3,000 people got saved and baptized. Somebody said, oh, I think you ought to go through a whole lot of classes before you're baptized. Well, you talk to Peter, James, and John and the Holy Ghost about that. That day, 3,000 got saved and 3,000 got baptized. And they all went rejoicing on their way. And in just a little while, there was another 5,000 got saved. My friend, the Holy Ghost had come to do what? To witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and to save souls. My friend, he is the founder of the living church of God. Amen. He is the founder of the church of God. Yeah. And you say, well, where do we fit in with the Holy Ghost today? Well, he's brought us two things. He's brought us gifts. Now, you may not have the gift of tongues. You might have the gift of healing, or of faith, or of word of knowledge. The Holy Ghost may come to you in a wonderful way. Generally, and almost always, in the New Testament, when it describes the coming of the Holy Ghost, not just on the day of Pentecost, but other times, it describes them as speaking in tongues, as they did on the day of Pentecost. That was the ordinary sign that they saw when the Holy Spirit came. But you know what else? God can give us lots of gifts. And in speaking of this, Paul later said, He gives gifts to men. I don't have all the gifts of the Spirit, and you don't have all the gifts of the Spirit, but we all have the gifts of the Spirit. You say, well, I don't know if I believe in the gifts of the Spirit in the church or not. Well, that's good, because you've got a perfect church. You know what the Bible said? The gifts are for the what? The perfecting of the saints. And if everybody in your church is perfect, then you don't need the gifts of the Spirit. But if everybody in your church is not perfect, in some way or another, I suspect that the churches are not perfect because they're filled with human beings. I suspect that we need the Holy Ghost to perfect us. I suspect that we need the Holy Ghost to bring us to where we need to be with God. You say, really? Yes, really. Why else would He have given us the Spirit if that wasn't true? And you say, but that was back then. Well, and you think we're in less need of the Spirit than Peter and James and John were? You think we're in any less need of the Spirit? You know who it said it's for? It said it's for you and for your children and as many as are far off and as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's who it's for. God wants His Spirit to be active in your life in two ways. Yes, He wants you to have the gifts of the Spirit in your life. You need them in your prayer life at home. You need them in your life wherever you are. You need the Holy Ghost moving in your life in the gifts of the Spirit. But let me tell you one other thing. You need the Holy Ghost to produce the fruits of the Spirit. How can you be producing fruits of the Spirit if there's no Spirit? You have to have the fruits of the Spirit. And you say, well, I know that's the Holy Ghost the way they went in church. Let me tell you something, folks. Let me sit down a minute. In case you hadn't noticed, the old Gray Mary, what she used to be. Let me tell you something. I've seen people cut a few good shines in church. I mean, I've seen some carrying on along the way. Talking to Brother Sexton one time, it's the First Church of God, and he was sitting in a tent meeting out in West Virginia, and the preacher sitting beside of him. And as they sat there, the Spirit got to move, and the tent had poles in it, of course. The preacher raised his hands. That's not unusual for us to raise our hands and praise the Lord. In fact, as I like to do it, amen? He raised his hands and went to praise the Lord. And when he came down, he went forward like that, hit the floor with his hands, turned a somersault, and shinned up the tent pole all the way to the top. Now, Earl, you warn me when you get ready to do that. When I do that, you'll know it's the Spirit. You'll know God's moving. But let me tell you, you could be impressed with that. I saw a man dance one time over an hour in church. And handle fire. I was impressed. I was a young Christian, just got saved. And I was so impressed. Oh, I was so impressed. I didn't know what to think. And Granny Effie took me with her. We went home to that house that day. And his mother came in and sat down and wept and cried for us. And asked us to pray for him because he was having an affair on his wife. You see, ah, that's what I said. Good Lord here, what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. You can duplicate carrying on, but you can't duplicate the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. The only way you can have the fruits of the Spirit is to have the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit, He will produce fruits in your life. And He won't be produced. If you hear somebody gossiping, that ain't it. If you hear somebody running somebody down and hateful, that ain't it. You see somebody acting snooty and making faces and all kinds of things that people do to each other, and worse, my friend, that ain't it. If it's the Holy Ghost and if He's in you, my friend, He will produce His fruits, which are, what's the first one? Love. You mean I got to love her? You mean I have to love him? Couple of first cousins here. Well, they wasn't first cousins. Buster and Alice's oldest girl, Bonnie. She had a saying, and just a funny thing between them. Yeah, I got to love you. I love you just enough to get into heaven. Now, that was a joke between them, between Bonnie and Buster. But let me tell you something. That ain't a joke between some people. That's not a joke between some people, because we just wanted to love them enough just to get by. Let me tell you something. If the Spirit is in here, it will be love, and then what it will be? Joy. Wow. You know what Granny Effie used to say about getting religion? She said, just because you got religion, don't have to look like you've been eating persimmons and drinking alum water. I have to tell you, sometimes, folks, I think religious people are so sour that if we had a quick freeze, they'd be sorry forever to look in the mirror because her face would be frozen the way it is. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and temperance and meekness and all of those things, my friend, this is what the Holy Ghost will do. Let me tell you something. Beware that you don't mistake noise and carrying on for the real thing. I can stand up here all day and do Holy Ghost jumping jacks, and you can be impressed with it like I was that time, my friend. But let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit produces in me the fruits of the Spirit, then you're going to see the real thing. You say, who is this we're talking about? We're talking about God. God, the Holy Spirit. God, the creator of the universe. God, the one who came to this earth through the Virgin Mary. And God, the one who's going to come back again and send His Son back. I don't know how all that's going to work out, but you know what? It's in good hands. Do you know that? You don't have to worry about those details. Don't get the Bible out and fret yourself over all the details of what's going to happen in the Revelation, what's going to happen in the Tribulation, and what's going to happen when the Lord comes, and what's going to happen with the people that are in the graves and all those things. Don't let yourself get carried away and bogged down on a lot of details that you're never going to know the answer to anyway till it happens. You say, what do? Trust Him. Man, it's in good hands. It's in good hands. He went away, He's coming back. When He comes, He's going to take us to Himself. And we're going to be with Him forever. Hallelujah. And you know, my friend, He's not going to leave me or forsake me, but He's going to be with me always, even to the end of the world. His Spirit's going to come and be with me. His Spirit's going to come and live with me. His Spirit's going to watch over me. Don't let yourself get bogged down in it. Don't go around and around and around the oak tree arguing about the Godhead or things that you can't explain anyway. Don't let Satan divide people against each other. My friend, accept what the Bible says about God. Why do you need some extra? Have these people getting these revelations, getting whole extra books of the Bible and whole extra sections of the Bible? I can tell you, my friend, old Eddie Kendall will do good to take care of this right here. I'll do good to take care of this right here. I don't need to add anything to it. In fact is, he kind of frowns on that, don't you think? didn't he say something bad about adding to it and taking away from it and all that kind? He sure did. So we don't want to do that. But all I need is what I have. I am complete in him, the Bible said. Yeah. Hallelujah. When his spirit comes to live in my heart, then I'm saved, sanctified, filled with his spirit. And yes, when I get filled with his spirit, I just might dance a little bit in church sometime. I might just dance a little bit outside of church sometime. I might just get happy all by myself, me and the Lord, and just have a spell. And there's not a thing wrong with that. In fact, is I'd like to come by one day and just happen to find you going hard at it with your hands up in the air praising God. Isn't that wonderful? I love it when I go by and I hear somebody praying or hear somebody shouting or praising God. And you say, well, yeah, when you have church, you can do that. No, you can do it any day of the week. The Holy Ghost came to abide forever. Say it. Forever. He's yours. You can sing, I am his and he is mine. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for the opportunity to share your precious word. What a great God you are. Father, you're so far ahead of us and we're so far behind. But we love you and we trust you. We know that whatever it takes for heaven, you've got it prepared for us. We know that you have prepared the Holy Spirit as a baptism to come upon us in this world and to give us the grace and the strength to carry on. Now, Lord, bless us with your Spirit. And Lord, as we close this service, let us go to our own places and let us find our own altars and our own place to kneel. Father, that we may be filled with the Spirit as you have commanded us to. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.